Good morning, everybody. How are you this morning? I'm so glad to have everyone out here that was able to come out and worship with us this morning. And if you're at home joining us, we're glad to have you join in with us there too. I'm looking forward to worshiping the Lord this Sunday before Thanksgiving. We have a few announcements to take care of, and then we're going to be able to focus our hearts on God. Wednesday night, we will not be having services here. Our normal Thanksgiving services will be held on the 24th, which is Tuesday, but they're going to be at Poplar Springs is doing it this year, but it's going to be online. So if you go to poplarsprings.net, you can find the link to that service. So I would encourage everyone to log in and join in on that. It'll be a good time. Even if we can't fellowship with other churches in the community, we can join in. And as we give our thanks to on this special week to God, that we'd be able to give our thanks to Him. Friday after Thanksgiving, we are going to come and meet and set up poinsettias. And not poinsettias. Yes, we're going to set up the poinsettia tree, and we're going to set up the luminaries. Lisa, do you know what time? Terry, what time are we going to do that Friday? So early morning Friday, 8:30, 9 o'clock. So everybody's day off. Terry wants you to get up early, okay? So, no, 8:30 or so on a Friday morning, we're going to get that set up. And the more people we have able to come out and help us, the quicker we can get that set up. And you can enjoy your day off, but that's coming up. So next Sunday, during the Sunday morning service, we're going to be having our Hanging of the Green service, which is always a fun time. Encourage you to be here for that as we move past Thanksgiving and we get into the Christmas spirit. Some of us are already putting trees and things up, but we are going to decorate Sunday for that. December the 5th, first of all, that's Breakfast Sunday, so keep that on your calendar. Saturday. Yeah, I know that's Saturday. Breakfast Saturday. So keep that on your calendar as breakfast. But also that morning, the youth, we are going to go help with New Prospect Baptist Church. There's a young lady there, and she is doing a mission project. They are going to be packing 50,000 meals to send to, and I had the organization wrote down but on another paper, but I didn't write it here. But it's a mission project, and they're going to be packing 50,000 meals, and they're doing it in two shifts, and I signed us up to help from the 10 to 12:15 shift. So if anybody wants to come to that, any youth or any adults want to come help too, you can come be here at 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock, and we are going to leave. We'll go over there, and then we'll have lunch together afterwards. So, and I will send some more information with the youth and send some messages out about that. And as far as announcements, that's it. But we're just glad to have you with us, and let's just focus our hearts on God this morning.
I do have a couple of more announcements. Don't forget, we still have space available to go to, two spots available to go to Charlotte on the 7th to work at the Operation Christmas Child or Samaritan Purse Distribution Center. So if you're willing to do that, see Joy or put your name up on the sign-up sheet out in the hallway across from Sandra's office. Also, Maria, the Christmas tree, you're going to put it up today? You need anybody helping or anything? Okay, yes, yeah, so if I get some gentlemen to help us with the keyboard this after the service this morning, we'll do that. Now I have a big announcement, one that I never thought I would ever have to make again. Ginger and I are having another child. The only difference is we don't have to raise this one. Because Trey proposed last night and Megan accepted, so we're getting a daughter-in-law. So I got you, didn't I? Rick was back there going, oh! I got you. So yes, we're getting a daughter-in-law. We're excited about that. And we've already told her that we like her better than we like him. So if he messes it up, we're keeping her and sending him out. Just joking. We love both of them, and we're excited about that. But also, seriousness, continue to pray for the Bradley family and the passing of Miss Frances Bradley, charter member of our church. If you knew Frances, you knew that she had a tremendous love for Christ and for this church, and that she would light up the room with her smile. She smiled with her entire face. Anytime we'd go see her over at Peak, she would just light up and just brighten the whole room. So be in prayer for the Bradley family. Also, be in prayer for Miss Mona right now. She's not feeling well this week, so pray for her that she would be getting better. And then just got word that Donna Stowe's brother, Steve Ramsey, is back in the hospital, went back today.
Do what? He's been in there a couple of days.
He's been in there a couple of days. I know that he had gone in for surgery. And so remember to pray for him as well, and continue to pray for Stephen Collins, Sandra's brother. And continue to pray for Sandra as well to regain her strength from this whole process of donating bone marrow. And continue to pray for our country. And we just need, I say it every week, we need Jesus to become real in people's lives. It's the only thing that's going to fix the problems that we have in our country right now is falling in love with Jesus and letting him shine through us the way that the Bible teaches us that he should. So at this time, if you would please join me in prayer. Our blessed Heavenly Father, we come before you right now, seeking your face, joining together as one voice, as your children, to praise your name and to beseech you on the behalf of these that have been mentioned today. Dear Lord, this is a very confusing time. It seems like time stands still but goes fast at the same time. That everything is different. Everything has changed and continues to change. But dear Lord, the one thing that's not changing is you, because you are always forever the same. Nothing will ever change your character. Nothing will ever cause you to forget us or leave us. And we praise you for that. Dear Lord, be with those that are needing physical help right now. You're the great physician, dear Lord, and you are the one that can heal all sickness. Dear Lord, you are also the one that can put together broken lives, can clear clouded minds, and can give us the courage to do more than we ever thought possible. And dear Lord, I lift up your church, everyone that calls you Father, everyone that goes by your name, that we would accept the responsibility given as a disciple of yours, that we would stand strong, and that we would put on the full armor of God and fight the battle that's before us. That we would trust in you as you say that you stand with us, and if those that stand against us will fall because you're with us. That we would not be discouraged, that we would not be afraid, because, dear Lord, we've already run the battle. We've won it because you died on the cross and you rose again. And you have gone to make a place for us, and that you will come back to receive us. And as we honor you and praise you and worship you today, dear Lord, that your Spirit would move among your people, whether here in person or watching online, that your Spirit would open our ears and our hearts, that we may receive your word today. And dear Lord, as we worship your name, we ask that you receive all the glory and honor for it all. And it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.
The Bible tells us to be thankful unto him and to bless his name. And that's why we are here today, to worship our Lord and Savior. So would you stand as we sing the first and third verse of 636, We Gather Together. Would you stand, please?
Sings the Lord's blessing. He chasten and hastens his will to make known the wicked oppressing. Now cease from him distressing. Sing praises to his name. He forgets not his own. We all do extol thee, the leader in battle, and pray that thou still a defender will be. Let thy congregation escape tribulation. Thy name be ever praised. O Lord, make us free.
Morning again. I like to invite any children who are watching at home, or a few that are here, to focus in, because I want to talk about something this morning. Miss Sandra was just talking about Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving is something that I'm not thankful that I pulled the thing out of my Bible. There we go. Thanksgiving is something that is very important, and we focus this time of the year on giving thanks, but the truth be known, we have to be thankful every day for what we have. And we should be, and God gives, we have to remember that everything comes from God. During Sunday school this morning, I read Psalms 100, and it was talking about being thankful. And I looked, and I found that in the New Testament, it talks about being thankful 71 times. And in the Old Testament, it talks about being thankful 72 times. The word thankful is in there. So in 66 books of the Bible, that's what, 143 times? So if you're a kid, you can really relate to how many times your parents have to tell you something over and over and over again, right? Or if you're married and you're a husband, you're told something over and over again, right, Richard? I saw you nodding back there. Yeah. So we get told the same thing over and over again. And we have this tendency not to listen. But I encourage you to listen, to take God's word serious, and be thankful for what you have, not just on Thanksgiving, but every day of the year. And especially Thursday and this week, be thankful for what you have. And remember that everything we have comes from God, and we wouldn't have anything without him. So I'm just going to encourage you guys and the kids to be thankful for what they have every day. Let's go to the Lord. God, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for everything that you do for us. Lord, we could never give you enough thanks and enough praise for being the God that you are. But Lord, we just
I just come to you and I just acknowledge that everything comes from you. And I'm just so grateful for the wonderful blessings that you give me and the kids that I get to interact with and just being at this church. Lord, we just love you and praise you. Amen.
Thank you, choir. Yes, this week is Thanksgiving week. And I'm excited about that. Chad talked the last several weeks about ham or turkey. And I shared last week that we are both. We do not show prejudice against either one of those fine meats, that we like both of them in our house. And typically, this would be the day that we have a Thanksgiving message. But instead, I am going to culminate everything that I have been preaching about the last several weeks in today's service. So the title of today's sermon is Ambassadors for Christ. And we're going to wrap up this series that I've been doing about what we need to be as a disciple of Christ. And we're going to look at two different passages, one to start off with and one later, that Paul writes to two different churches about what is expected from us. And so if you would turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, this is the first verse that we're going to look at today. And once you get there, if you'd please stand as I read it. It will be on the screen as well. And this is what it says. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20 says this: "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." Let's pray. Blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we come to you once again, asking you to bless the reading of your word. May it speak to us today, so that we will know what it means to be an ambassador of Christ. And it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus our Savior we pray. Amen. Thank you. As a disciple of Jesus Christ, we are his ambassador. Now, if you think about this, what exactly does it mean to be an ambassador? I looked it up again. You know, I went back to the dictionary.com, and the job of an ambassador is this. Okay? Dictionary.com defines ambassador as a diplomatic official of the highest rank, sent by one sovereign or state to another as its resident representative. So with that definition in mind, what it means to be the ambassador of Christ is that we are his representative right here on earth. Christ is no longer here in body in the earth, in the world. He was at one time, but he ascended back to his throne in heaven, and he has embodied us that have accepted him as our personal Savior. We call it Baptist church talk, is we've accepted Christ into our, come on, finish it, heart. That doesn't mean that we've got a little bitty Jesus living in our left atrium or ventricle. Okay? What it means is that we are embodied by the Holy Spirit and Christ lives in us. We therefore become his representative here on earth. Much like an ambassador for the United States goes to a foreign country. He is not the president of the United States or any other form of government of the United States, but he is the representative of that government and of our president in that foreign country. When people look at him, they see America. So when people look at us as being Christ ambassadors, what should they see? Christ. Then dictionary.com also has a second part of the definition. It also defines ambassador as a diplomatic official of the highest rank sent by a government to represent in on a temporary mission as for a negotiating a treaty. Now think about that. An ambassador is a temporary assignment in a country negotiating a treaty. And if you think about us and what we are here, are we here permanently? We are here for a finite amount of time, right? We are born and we die. Everybody faces that. We don't know how long we're going to live. We may be lucky enough to be like Miss Nell and live over 100 years. I spoke to Nell Buff on Monday, went to see her and Frank, and we talked about the fact that she has been alive since 1920. And I was asking her about if the Roaring Twenties was really as big a deal as what they say it is, and when you watch newsreels and stuff like that about the Roaring Twenties. And she says, I really don't remember much because I was already 10 by the time they got into the 30s. So I was a kid, so I didn't get to enjoy a lot of the Roaring Twenties. But she's seen a lot of history. But her life is still temporary. In the scope of all eternity, 100 years is nothing. But we've been given a job to do. Our job is to negotiate a peace treaty with those that we're among for the sovereign God. Our job is to give the message of peace that He sends in the form of Jesus' death on the cross. Let's face it. In our natural state, in our human nature, we are at war with God. Our nature and His nature are so far apart that it's unbelievable. And nothing that we can do on our own will ever fix that. But Jesus Christ gave the source of having peace between us and God. His blood on the cross gave us that ability to have peace with God. And because of His death on the cross, and because of our faith and what that represents, we have been then made children of God. There is peace between us now. And our job is to help broker that peace with everybody else that we come in contact with. So when we say that we're ambassadors of Christ, it's not just the fact that we represent Christ, but our job is to also broker peace between God and everyone that we come in contact with. And it's only a temporary assignment because we're only here for a temporary amount of time. So we need to do the best of our ability to represent Christ as fully and capably as we possibly can during that short amount of time. And how can we adequately do that? I think about my personal life. So many times I fail terribly at representing Christ, not only to others, but to my own family. I used to tell the youth when we'd go on youth trips, I said, "Don't forget, I have high expectations for you. I expect you to be on your best behavior, because not only are you representing your family, your parents, because people, listen, kids, when you do something, it does reflect on your parents. It may not be their fault, but what you do reflects on them. When we would go, I'd also tell them, you're representing your church. And church as a whole, when you go out and do something, people know where you attend church. And that reflects upon what is being taught and what stuff happens and takes place within this church. Whether you like that or not, that's the fact. But the most important thing is that as a Christian, we are representing Christ. And so what we do reflects on Him. And sadly to say that in this world today, people, the majority of the people, the only idea they have of Christ, or the only picture they have of Christ, is not what they hear a preacher say, is not what they read in the Bible, but what they see Christians doing. They are watching us. I preached about that last week. You're being watched. We are the only sermon that they will ever hear. And they choose to accept or reject Christ based on what they see in us. I've already told you, the majority of people that accept Christ don't accept Christ because of a sermon they heard on a Sunday morning. They do it because of the influence of somebody in their life. Somebody took time and they gave a good representation of Christ, and they want what they have. So how do we adequately represent Christ? How does a fallible man represent Christ? Well, Paul also tells us that in his letter to the church in Galatia. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, he says this, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me." So how do we do this? How are we able to be Christ's ambassadors and give an adequate picture of Christ? Well, the first thing that we have to realize is it's not about us. It's not us. It is not me. And what I do is not about me any longer. Parents, you understand this. When it's just you, you're all that you have to worry about. When you get married, it's just you and your spouse. That's all you have to worry about. But the moment you have a child, all bets are off. Everything changes. It's no longer about what you want. It's no longer about what you get to go do. At least it shouldn't be. What does it become about? It becomes about everything that that child needs. That moment that child is born, can it survive on its own? It depends on you to give it everything that it needs to survive. It depends on you to feed it, to clothe it, safety, everything, to change its diapers. It can't do anything on its own. If it was left to its own devices, that child would die. It ceases being about us and it becomes about them. When we accept Christ as our personal Savior, that's the point that it stops being about us. It is no longer about what we want or what we can get, but it becomes about Christ and what He wants to do in us and through us. So when Paul says, "I am crucified with Christ, yet I no longer live, it is Christ that lives in me." What does that mean? That means that the moment we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we become something totally different. We are no longer Artie Hubbard, son of Jim and Margie, but I become Artie Hubbard, son of the living God. It changes, and it ceases being about us. The second thing that we have to realize, that it is Christ in us. Christ in us. And we have to realize that when we represent Christ, we have to do that in several different aspects. And we have talked about all of these over the last several weeks. That we represent Christ through our surrender and our sacrifice. When people see us, do they see us totally sold out for Jesus Christ? Are we willing to give up what is most important in our lives here on earth for His kingdom? Abraham waited his entire life for a son. God promised him a son. And when that son finally came, what did God do? He told Abraham, "I want you to sacrifice your son to me." What did Abraham do? He did it. He loaded up that donkey with the wood, the oil, everything for the sacrifice. Except for one little detail. And his son asked him several times on the way up that mountain, "Where's the lamb? Where's the sacrifice?" What was Abraham's response every time? "God will provide a sacrifice. Jehovah Jireh, God will provide." But God's timing is not our timing, is it? I can't imagine what was going through Abraham's mind. All the way up that mountain. "Okay, God, anytime now, still nothing." He and Isaac built the altar, stacked the stones, took the wood, laid the stone the whole time. Abraham's telling Isaac, "God will provide." And in his mind, he's like, "Okay, God, this is the son that you promised me. But this is what you've asked of me." God wanting to see if he was really willing to sacrifice and surrender everything that he had for him. Even when he bound Isaac's hands and feet and laid him on the altar. Even when he raised that knife. You notice it wasn't until he started to come down with that knife that God stopped him. And he heard a rustle in the bushes and looked over, and there was a ram caught by his horns. God's timing is perfect. But Abraham's obedience and his willing to surrender and sacrifice was also perfect. Because he was not even going to withhold what was most precious to him in all the world because God asked for it. You know something? I got a message this morning from Todd Schiff. We have been praying for Todd for a long time now to get a job. He had not been able to get a job. Well, his extended unemployment ends tomorrow. And he got a job offer last night. God's timing is perfect. Church, being his ambassador shows people that God's timing is perfect. Being his ambassador, they're looking at us, and it means that we have to surrender and sacrifice what we want because of the one that we represent. We have to represent Christ in our listening and in our obedience. We have to be willing to listen to what we're being told. And listen, I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes what God tells us, we don't want to hear. Because it's painful. And that's one of the problems we have in our society today. They don't like what God says, so they change what's being said. Chad posted something on Facebook the other day that churches change the Bible to meet what they want to do instead of letting the Bible change the church. Church, we need to listen to what God says. And then we need to be obedient. And I shared this past Wednesday night. Anything short of perfect obedience is disobedience. Delayed obedience, incomplete obedience. It's all disobedience unless it's done right then the way God wants it done. We represent Christ in our listening and in our obedience. We also represent Christ in our words and actions. Are we walking the talk? Is what we're saying matching up to what we're doing? We can't say that we represent Christ and then our words and actions don't match up to that. We represent Him in what we do and what we say. We represent Christ in our faith and our works. And when I say works, I'm talking about our fruit. You know, a tree can't say it's an apple tree and produce oranges. If it produces oranges, what kind of tree is it? It's an orange tree. We can't say that we're a Christian and produce fruit that shows anything else. Because if we produce any type of works or any type of fruit that doesn't belong to Christ, what does that say about us? Then we're not part of Christ. And we can't put our faith in man or government or anything else and say that we have faith in Christ. It doesn't work. Men are finite. Men are fallible. God is infinite and God is perfect. And He is the only one that can provide salvation. And by being His ambassadors, we need to represent that fact to those that we are in contact with. And finally, we represent Christ in our love. Now let's face it, this is a hard one. This is the hardest one of all. Because this is where the rubber meets the road. Can you love somebody that thinks differently than you do? Let's get real. If you voted for Trump, can you love somebody that voted for Biden? Or vice versa? I mean, that's a big issue right now. Let's face it, in our country, that's a big issue. Can you love somebody that looks different than you do? If you wear a mask, can you love somebody that doesn't wear a mask? If you think that this virus is a big hoax, can you love somebody that thinks it is the most serious thing in the world? If you're a Carolina fan, can you love a Duke fan? Now that sounds funny, but it's serious. I mean, let's face it. People get so caught up on these divisions and it becomes so serious to them that we may think it's funny, but to them it's real and it's serious. But can you love them? Jesus says, by this they will know that you are my disciples, that you what? Love one another. First Corinthians chapter 13 is the love chapter. And he says, all things pass away, but remains these three, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Do you love the person next to you so much that you would be willing to give up everything that you've got so that they would know Jesus Christ as their Savior? I've already shared with you that the group Penn and Teller, Penn is a devout atheist. And he says he cannot understand why his atheist friend get upset when a Christian shares their faith in Jesus Christ with them. And he says, because how much must they hate me not to share with me what they believe? And church, sadly enough, that's what we're communicating with people. That's the kind of representatives, that's the kind of ambassadors that we have become in our society, is that we won't even go next door to share Christ with somebody. We have to love them. I'm not talking about the warm, fuzzy, ooey-gooey, rainbows and cupcakes type of love. I'm talking about the love that you would do anything to give them what they needed. And church, our world needs Christ. And Christ could have done it anyway. God could have done it the way anyway. He could have spoke and everybody would have been fine. But he chose to send his son to die on the cross. And he chose to use us to spread his gospel. He chose us, knowing that we made mistakes, knowing that we weren't perfect, knowing that sometimes we say the wrong things and we do the wrong things, but he still chose to use us. And he has made us ambassadors for him. Now, my question to you is this, church. What kind of representative are you going to be for your Savior? Are people going to look at you and see Jesus in everything there is to do about your life, and what you say, what you do, how you act, where you go, how you love? Do they see Jesus Christ through you? If not, then that's something that you've got to get straight. I can't fix it. Listen, it's a full-time job for me, doing it for myself. I can't do it for you. Only you and God can fix this. Only you and Jesus can make him real in your life. But this is your opportunity to do that. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, imagine how much you will have to be thankful for if you accept him as your Savior today. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. Listen, Ginger and I and Faith went to Lowe's last night. And we get up to the traffic light at Ingalls on 74, and there's been a wreck. There's a guy laying on this road next to his motorcycle. He wasn't expecting that to happen, but it did. The other day, the man that lived in one of the duplexes in front of us, his wife checked on him and then left and came back 3 hours later, and he was dead. He was talking to her 3 hours before. He wasn't expecting that to happen, but it did. We are not guaranteed another breath. This is your chance. Don't waste it. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, don't leave here without knowing that and getting that nailed down. I guarantee you it will change your life. If you know Christ and you've been not representing him well and you need to talk to him, this is your chance to do that. You don't have to share anything with me. It's between you and God. You can come to the altar. You can come to talk to me if you want to. Or you can stay where you're at and deal with it right there. But this is your opportunity. Don't waste it. Church, this is your time to respond to what God is telling you to do. As we sing this song, this is your chance.
Would you stand as we sing our hymn of invitation? We're going to sing Sanctuary. It is not in your hymnals, but we do have the words on the board. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Thank you all for being here today. I appreciate it. I hope that you enjoy your Thanksgiving holiday with your family. Don't forget, Tuesday night, 7 p.m. at poplarsprings.net is our community Thanksgiving service. And then no service Wednesday, but we will be back here on Sunday for the Hanging of the Green service at 10:30. Sunday school starts at 9:30. Don't forget, if you've packed any shoe boxes for Operation Christmas Child, bring them by this next Sunday. We will be collecting those, and we will be taking them. If you want to go, we've got two spots left to go to the Samaritan Purse Distribution Center on the 7th. So see Joy if you're interested in helping with that. And don't forget, need some help moving the keyboard immediately following the service. And then Friday morning at 8:30, well, let's make it one or the other.
You can get there.
Okay. Terry will be here at 8:30. But we're going to set up the luminaries outside and get the poinsettia tree set up here in the sanctuary so that we are able to do the Hanging of the Greens on Sunday. Thank you so much. Continue to be in prayer for each other. And at this time, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our blessed Heavenly Father, thank you so much for everything that you've done for us. Dear Lord, we have so much. Even in 2020, as crazy as has it been, we have so much to be thankful for. Dear Lord, I thank you for this church, and I thank you for this people. Dear Lord, and I thank you what you are wanting to do in us and through us. As we leave this place, let us remember that we are going on the mission field, dear Lord, that we are going out as your representatives, as your ambassadors, and our job is to make disciples. I ask you to bless us and keep us safe until we can come back again. And it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Thank you.